Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Lara May, a clinical pharmacist specializing in functional medicine, as well as a certified yoga teacher and Reiki master. I run a truly integrative health coaching practice, encompassing functional medicine lab testing, yoga and meditation, and a sprinkling of Reiki energy medicine. Join me here on Light Body Radio to break through your health plateau and come into alignment with your natural vitality. Hello and welcome to Light Body Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Lara May, and today we have with us Rachel Lavin. She is a published author of The Donut Diaries, professional speaker, body love educator, a certified health coach, and certified personal trainer. She grew up in Northern California and has lived in Hawaii, Vancouver, Washington, Portland, Oregon, and New York City. She currently lives in Greenville, South Carolina with her partner. And in 2000, Rachel began her career as an ACE certified group fitness instructor, teaching a plethora of classes such as aqua aerobics, boot camp, judges size, dance aerobics, struts, and chair classes. And in 2007, she was certified as an ACE personal trainer working at a big box gym in New York City and becoming an independent trainer in 2012. I'm going to let her tell us about how she took that to the next level, because I always love to hear firsthand the story of each of our guests. So welcome, Rachel, and tell us about your evolution.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I mean, as you were reading in my bio, I think just like a lot of personal trainers, we start with the group X, so we morph into a trainer, and then the more and more we get involved into this space, it's like, well, what else can I do? So I got a health coach certification, and as the world changed forever, I took that time to write my book. And since writing my book in 2020, I have evolved even more and kind of realized that I wanted to shift and I wanted to work with people in a different way. And that way is ditching diet culture, kind of walking back to yourself, rediscovering who you are, and all in all, just learning how to be happy. And not only do I want to help women do that, but that was a personal journey and personal experience for me. I dieted my whole first half of my life. And when I turned 40, I was like, I am so done with this. I need to figure out, how does Rachel become happy? And I want to add, because I think it's a very important piece to that story, is that turning 40 years old, I was a size zero. I was the smallest I'd ever been in my entire life, and I was friggin' miserable. And so to wake up turning 40, being a size zero, not being happy, there was some disconnect, and I needed to figure out what it was. So that's how it started, and here we are today.
Well, I'm glad that you actually said that piece of it, that you were a size zero and not happy, because I think a lot of us struggling with weight are, there's a lot of disordered eating out there. So let's just say that. But what we hear about the most in the media and the news and all of our, health and wellness, I use air quotes in that, resources, is obesity, the epidemic of obesity, the risks and the detriment of being overweight and what that can lead to. So I think there's probably a large group of us that don't even think about, well, just because you're thin or a certain size doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be happy when you get that. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that is really the missing part of why diet culture is still so rampant in our society, even after it's been proven over and over again that diets aren't sustainable, they're not realistic. Of course, and I always love to say this in my podcast, is that yes, every single diet will work in the beginning until it doesn't. right? Mm-hmm. Because your body is doing its best to figure out, what are you doing to me now? And we have literally forgotten how to trust our bodies. We have forgotten how to listen to our body's signals, and we are completely dependent on the next diet. So mixed with all that, you still believe in here, okay, well, once I get off that 10, 15, 50, 300 pounds, I'll finally be happy. And I'm just a walking example of that is just not true.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming happy and like comfortable in your body and with yourself? Like, what were some of those obstacles, steps, realizations? You know, I'm sure there was many layers to this to this journey.
There is. I mean, if I told you my story, we'd be here all day. So to kind of put it in perspective, I had to recognize that I was just not a happy person. And no matter what amount of weight I lost or gained, it was having way too much control over that. And so I kind of just realized, A, I don't know myself. I don't know who Rachel is or what she wants. I have no idea how to take care or self-soothe myself. And I have no idea, even being a female in the fitness industry, what I, me personally, my body needed to eat, how I needed to move, and how I needed to rest my body. Just all of that was so foreign. So I had to kind of just really take out all the equations and sit with myself and learn how to deal with and heal from my past. I had to start opening up my mind and my heart to new information, and I had to practice it every single day. And I also had to give myself permission that there is no way I was going to believe the new things that I was thinking and saying to myself for a while. And I had to use that as motivation to keep going, because even though what I look back on it now and it seems so simple, it was definitely very hard at the time.
Yeah. This is something that the life coach school that I was taught in, you know, it's obviously life coaching and coaching in general is about mind management and changing your mind and knowing that you have the power and starting to even believe that you have the power to change your own mind and to change your beliefs. But that first step is recognizing, well, what are my beliefs? And you said one of the first steps for you is recognizing that you in general were just not a happy person. And I think there's also this layer of like being okay with that, just coming to self-acceptance of like, I am where I am and I got to start somewhere and that's okay. And being able to love yourself, maybe even not love, but accept yourself there before you take that next step to, you know, whatever it is your aspiration, whether it's I'm going to be this size or this weight or be able to like reach this metric of athleticism or goal or, you know, whatever it is, you can't, you know, Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks likes to say, you can't get there from here. You know, you can't jump from ecstasy when you're in despair. You have to step yourself up the ladder. And so where I started with this was within the life coaching modality that I was taught is like, what are those ladder thoughts? We call them ladder thoughts. So being aware of what you're thinking now, the positive and the negative, and just looking at it, not judging it, but just acknowledging that it's there, and then figuring out where you want to be. And then that gives you sort of at least some sort of space to decide how you're going to get there, instead of just expecting ourselves to be able to jump from A to Z when we know that's not how the alphabet works. So it's always amazing. Like, we put these expectations on ourselves, and I don't know where that comes from. It must be like taught to us at some point throughout our development, because we all know that we're not born that way, right? We're born loving ourselves. We're born knowing that we're whole and complete no matter what. And along the way, we're taught that we're not. And then we spend a whole lifetime trying to get back to that, where am I with the being the complete and whole part person of, you know.
I know. And it's, I don't think I'll ever be able to teach a woman to not have to go through all those things, but I would like to at least continue to teach women that I work with that there will always be a light at the end of a tunnel, and there's never, it's never, never, never too late to start. It really is, there isn't any cutoff time to evolving, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think just that concept of knowing that you have the power to create what you want. Like, you don't have to be constantly in the yo-yo cycle. You don't have to be constantly like looking in the mirror and saying negative things to yourself. You know, that was a big process, or maybe even acknowledgement, awareness for me throughout my spiritual journey, was really when I dove into this whole concept of self-love. Like, well, what is that? And what does that mean for me? For those of you that can't see us, I'm like pausing with a puzzled look on my face and thinking back. But really, like, starting to realize where the negativity eked in. Mm. And for me, and I think for a lot of people, when we're standing in front of the mirror, whether we have clothes on or not, like, we'll find something to pick at and to say something negative about. At least I did. And I know I'm not alone in that.
No, you're definitely not. And it's like you said, just as those thoughts came so easily and freely, for me, I had to really work at those thoughts and saying kind things to myself. And that's the part where I said I had to understand that I wasn't going to believe them for a while. And even today, when I have my moments of where those old thoughts creep in, and I do see a reflection of myself in a mirror or window or whatever, and I want to go, you know, and scream and run back under the covers, I stand there, and in that moment, I look at myself and I say, nope, you're beautiful. You've come a long way. Your body is perfect the way it is today. Whatever, you know, the mantras that I now believe, they come in handy, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even, you know, on those days where I couldn't figure out a way to love what I didn't like in the mirror, I would find something that would at least shift me to a better feeling place. So it was like, so something like, I'm grateful for this body that I have right now. I'm grateful that this body can take me on a walk or a hike or a run or a swim. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, whatever it is. So again, like, just being gentle, and maybe again, not expecting for you to jump straight into, I'm so in love with myself, but being able to incrementally find something to shift, even just a little bit. It only takes a little to have a huge impact sometimes.
I believe that too. And I think that if you understand that, then you'll stick with it. I think so many of us, like you said, we want to jump from 0 to 5,000 when it comes to loving ourselves. And it just, unfortunately, because we've been so cruel to ourselves for so long, we have to do it in steps, and we have to do it in a way that is going to be authentic to ourselves. You know, there's a part of me that is very spiritual and very grateful and very loving, but then there's a part of me that is very cynical, and I have to embrace both parts of myself if I want to see any growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's sort of our lesson for all of us, you know, that have chosen to incarnate in these human bodies, is just, we, you know, embracing all the layers, all the facets, all the contrast, and all the different shades and colors and feelings and emotions that come with that. You know, that's why we're here. You can't find that anyplace else in the universe except our tiny little blue planet called Earth. So, yeah, so definitely embracing that and learning your own way, you know, because you and I can sit here all day long and talk about our experiences and what we did in our path. But, you know, really and this is what I told my clients too, like, I'm the guide. I can't do the work for you. So, you know, and I think you've probably found this too throughout your various ways of coaching and training, is you literally can't do the work for the other person to have success or progress, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, I show you how to do this movement, now you do it and like figure out how to make it work within your body, your mind.
Yeah, it is such a interesting way that we as individuals learn. And I think the sooner we get in touch with that, then the information that is presented to you, you can process it in the way that makes sense to you. And I think that's why a lot of us go through life just saying, because we don't get it, or it's not explained to us in a way that sinks in. And for me, it's like, I try to learn that about my clients. Like, well, what kind of learner are you? Can you sit there? Can you read something and absorb it? Do you need to hear it? Do you need to touch it? What do you need? And I think this is so important that even as cultivating relationships with people out in the world, the more we understand that we're individuals is when we can finally start to work together.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit about when and how and why you decided to write your book. Like, how did that come about? Like, why a book?
Well, I wanted a way to have my message reach people in a way that I probably never could. Mm-hmm. And at the time when we were locked down, I was living in New York City. I also needed something to express myself. I needed something to do. And I truly believe that when you put something out in the universe, I mean, the universe answers you. And there were just no roadblocks. There were no roadblocks in me getting my book from literally thinking about it to a physical book at all. And I know for me and what I believe that it was meant to be.
Yeah, I think they call that the flow state too, when it just literally flows. Like, there are, you know, very few, if any, obstacles that pop up. It just unfolds as if it's meant to be. Yeah. And it probably is and was.
Yeah.
So do you have any sort of like baseline tips for women to get started with?
I do. And again, we've been talking about simplicity for our conversation, and it might seem so hard or it might seem so simple. I'm not really sure where your listeners are at in their own journey, but recognizing how cruel we are to ourselves and choosing to start to change that narrative. For me, I had to literally pick a package up of hot pink Post-its. I wrote down things that I knew I did not believe about myself or that I really focused on. I'm unlovable. I will never be happy. I will never find a partner. Like, things I really believed about myself, I wrote on a Post-it with, you know, a positive message. I am lovable. I am going to find the love of my life. I am going to be happy. And I said them out loud to myself every day. And for me, that was the extra part of it. Instead of just looking at it on my way out the door, you can easily just kind of blow something like that off. But if I made a conscious effort to say it out loud, especially in those hard moments, is when it really was like, okay, I can do this. I can do a little bit more. I can believe a little bit more about myself. And so I kept writing these positive affirmations, if you will, on Post-its and said them to myself. That was the first thing I did. The second thing that I found was super important to my recovery and my growth was I literally stopped asking the outside world about me, about Rachel, my body, if I was smart, if I was any of those things. I stopped asking people and needing that from the outside world. I really had to learn how to self-soothe myself, and I needed to learn how to be my own cheerleader. And so those two things were completely, for me, for my journey, I couldn't have done it without those two things.
So what did self-soothing look like before?
I had no idea. It was It was one thing that was missing from my life. I did not know how to do that.
Was it like food, alcohol, exercise, shopping?
I mean,
I'm just curious if you're willing to say. It might be a little too personal.
No, not at all. I guess it was definitely all those things. Whatever I could do in the moment to make me feel better without having it be an emotional thing, I did it, I'm sure. I think I did a lot of my trying to find that perfect relationship. I felt like, for me, I just grew up thinking that if I was going to be a complete person, I needed to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you don't love yourself and you don't know yourself, you don't really pick the best partners. Yeah. So I spent a lot of my younger years chasing after this idea with people who were completely, what's the word? I don't want to use the word unattainable. They weren't interested in being in a relationship. And I just couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that to be true. If I wanted something like that so badly, then you must. You know what I mean? So it was such a wake-up call when I realized that I was doing that.
Hmm. And so what does self-soothing look like now on the other side?
It looks like, Rachel, let's take a breath. Rachel, let's go ahead and wait until we lash out. Or let's take myself out of the equation, you know, or meditate, or just have that conversation with myself before I involve other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so many of us are taught early on to soothe with sugar or, I don't know, I mean, just thinking about like how we raise kids to, you know, like, oh, don't cry. Here's a piece of candy. Or, you know, oh, you had a rough day at school. Let's go get ice cream or pizza. Or, you know, like we're taught really to soothe with food. So it's no wonder that so many of us, whenever we have a rough day at work or we get in a fight with our spouse or, you know, partner, or even like have a rough first or second date, what do? Eat. Or drink, or, you know, it's something to it's like get the dopamine hit, but also distract us and not have to feel that feeling, even though the feeling's only temporary. I mean, it never lasts forever. And
I wish I would have known that back in in the days, because I think, you know, it was so dramatic that I really thought this is the end. This is the one thing that's going to shake my entire world up and I'm never going to be the same. And, you know, I think that, and again, I'm not a mom, but I do feel like to instill those things in your children is so valuable. And I really wish that I would have had that or learned that or have been taught that. I mean, for me to have to have learned that at, you know, 37 through 40 that's a lot of years to unpack.
Yeah, honestly though, I feel like that this is part of our great awakening as a culture. I mean, we talk about cultural trauma and ancestral things that are passed down through our lineage. And I think that's just one of those things. It's like, at least my parents are parented by people that came through the Depression. So, you know, so if you think about like that, you know, they had a lot of things, you know, to worry about. Not like we don't have a lot of things to worry about, but they're just different. Mm-hmm. And how we teach our tiny humans to survive relative to the social context that we're in is so interesting. And so I think now that we're probably like one of the most aware and awake generations of parent age people, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a lot of people I think that are definitely not awake, but, you know, like awakening at least. And I think that's great for possibilities and for change and shifting things. And so, you know, but we have to, I feel like I'm not a parent either, but I feel like come to it with intention of I'm going to disrupt the pattern. I'm not going to continue how I was raised or parented into this next generation.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, listen, I had to really recognize that my mother is a human being and she's a person and she did the best she could. But it is so funny being a 51, almost 52-year-old woman, and I can be in her presence and like revert back to a teenager in like 20 seconds. So I like the learning is still there, you know, it's still happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know that's a huge piece of it is realizing that our parents are just humans, you know, and they were raised however they were raised, and they're doing the best they can with the tools they were given. And so here we are doing the best we can with the tools we've been given. But I feel like this is also too, like with the age of information, we have so many more tools. It's just a matter of figuring out how to implement them and what works for each of us. And this is why I say like, there's not enough coaches out there for everyone on the planet because we're all so unique. Like you said, we all learn differently. We all implement differently. And we all resonate with different tools and modalities. So that's one of the reasons I have this show is to bring as many of those forward so that whoever's out there listening, maybe one day they'll be like, hey, that works for me or that resonates. I'm going to try that. And it works, hopefully.
Yeah, I love that.
So cool. Well, tell us where we can find you on all the interwebs.
Please. Rachel Levin Wellness across the board. Website, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. My book, The Donut Diaries, is available on Amazon. And please, I love having these conversations. I love talking about this stuff. So reach out even if you have a question.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you really wanted to bring forward today? Anything in the book or about the book or anything else that we've left out?
No, not that we've left out, but just, you know, a nice little nugget for on top of that. I do believe that if you are open to seeing yourself in a different light, that you can. You got to put in the work, but you can be happy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you again so much, Rachel. And all of the links for to find Rachel will live on our show notes page, which is drlaramay.com/podcasts. And you can listen to this show on anywhere you find podcasts. You can even ask Alexa and Siri to play Light Body Radio for you. So thank you, Rachel, so much for being with us today. And everybody, definitely go check out her book, The Donut Diaries. And, you know, maybe just take that first step today into just getting curious about what would it look like if you started to create a better relationship for yourself. And I'll leave you with that. Thanks, everybody.